Hello, and welcome to the family at World Harvest Outreach.
Wow, what a morning to be together. And with the worship team, and I don't know where Ben is, but thank you, Ben and Diane, for sharing this morning. Ben shared last week from his heart. Ben shared again this morning from who he is, that which is deep within him, and his passion for the church, his passion for life. Thank you, Ben. Our theme this year is Jesus is center. And Mark and the team have been talking a lot about the same subject, who we are, just coming at it from a different perspective. And Jay, you and your dad have been doing that on Wednesday nights as well, and just who we really are. Living from that place of peace, that place of rest, that place of love, rather than a place of law or a place of striving or a place of trying to achieve. I've wanted to come up several times after they were finished speaking and just kind of affirm what's being said, and haven't done that a lot. I'm particularly with all of you, I do sometimes with them personally. But I think what we're hearing today in the messages that have been spoken are really relevant to where we are living. Ben, you referred to that a little bit this morning about what's on the news and things that's happening in the world we live in. I think it's important that we understand as a church, as people, to be able to function from who we really are and who Jesus really is within us. And from that, then we function in our life. Living from that place of thoroughly enjoying the fullness of life within us. And I would have to say, as I look around, I don't see that a lot in the world we live in. But I believe it's really possible. And thank you to the leadership team for doing that and functioning at that level and speaking at that level. A saying that I'm not sure how I learned this, but people strive really hard to become who they already are. Now, just think that through a little bit. People strive really hard to become who they already are. They just don't know it, and that's why they really strive. Maybe I'm saying that wrong. Maybe I should say us. That includes me as well. Because I work at that as much as anyone does. So this morning I want to share with you about what it means as Jesus is center. And as I talk, I'm going to end up this morning with a story that I've read, a quote, a devotional that I read from a man that I learned a lot from about what we're talking about when we're talking about understanding our identity and who we really are. But I want to start this morning is, what is the difference between a healthy identity and an unhealthy one? What's the difference? So we're going to look at, first of all, what is a healthy Christian identity? Now, I'm going to go there second. First, I'm going to talk about what is an unhealthy one, and then end up with what is a healthy one. When we are living with an unhealthy identity as a person, we are dissatisfied with who God designed me to be. I'm dissatisfied with that. God, you made a mistake. You didn't put me together the way I was expecting you to. You didn't design me with who I really am. And God, within that, I'm very disappointed. In who? In me or with God? I'm disappointed in God. I'm disappointed in Him. We live in a world where there's a lot of dissatisfaction in who people are, have a lot of dissatisfaction in who they really are. And what happens at that point, there's a lot of chaos and a lot of confusion. It might be out there, but where's the chaos and confusion really at? In here. Because I'm not content, I'm displeased with what's going on in here. I'm disappointed in it, I'm frustrated with it, and I end up living in chaos and confusion. But what happens is, I don't see it that way, and so I blame you or I blame God that that isn't happening in my life. That's an unhealthy identity. And so I'm trying to figure it out from something else. Where in a healthy identity, Mark talked about this a lot last Sunday. In fact, he referred at one point to a verse that I'm going to start with this morning in Galatians chapter 5. But when we live, are living from a healthy identity, we're living and thoroughly enjoying the fullness of life. I'm going to look at two examples. The first one is Joseph. Not Joseph and Mary and Jesus. I'm looking at the Joseph in the Old Testament, the son of Jacob. Joseph was one of the younger two. It was Joseph and Benjamin. And there was older brothers. And the older brothers didn't like Joseph and Benjamin because they were the youngest and they were the, what they thought, that Joseph and Benjamin were the favorites. And so Jacob sent Joseph out. His brothers were all out in the field tending to the sheep, and Jacob sent Joseph out, and they didn't like Joseph. And so I'm going to abbreviate a lot of this story, but probably most of you have heard the story. I'm just going to pull some highlights out of it. But Joseph went out, and his brothers saw him coming, and so they plotted against him. They said, let's take his coat, which the father had made for him, a coat of many colors. Said, let's take his coat. We're going to kill an animal. We're going to dip the coat in the blood. And we're going to take that coat and send it back to the father and say that Joseph was killed. He died. When really what they did, they sold Joseph into slavery. They sold him into Egypt. Through that time, Joseph, I'm not sure about all the things that was going on within Joseph, but one thing we do know, that when the brothers sold him into Egypt, Joseph had a response at that point that was good. Joseph went there, and he became a servant, and he was okay with that. When Joseph had a gift, or whenever that there was a dream that needed interpreted, they went to Joseph and he interpreted it. He knew who he was. Eventually, he got in a position with Potiphar, who was the ruler there, and he found favor with him because of interpreting dreams. And he said, I'm going to put you in charge of my entire household. Everything I have, Joseph, I'm putting you in charge of it. Joseph apparently displayed a strong identity. Joseph, at that point, one day, multiple days, Potiphar's wife became very attracted to Joseph and tried to seduce him. Joseph knew who he was, and he responded according to his identity. He didn't respond to who a female or someone thought of him. And he, one day, she got a hold of him, and he ran. And she held his coat and accused him, and he was put from head of Potiphar's house to in prison. Joseph didn't allow that to change who he was, except make him stronger. When Joseph was at that position, all of a sudden there was multiple things happened, but I'm going to go to the part where Potiphar had a dream, and they wanted an interpretation of it. And they said, oh, we know a person can do that. He's in prison. And Potiphar said, bring him here. And at that point, Joseph returned back to a place where his identity was strong. He returned back to a relationship with his father and brothers. And because of Joseph's obedience and functioning in who he was again raised to a position of authority. Joseph was courageous, he was confident, and he was bold. The other one I want to talk a little bit about is Jesus. Jesus knew who he was confident in who he was. And because of that, he dealt the enemy a death blow immediately because of who he was. Jesus responded to unfair treatment in his life with confidence and courage and boldness. I would dare to say that every one of us have many, many things we need to respond to in our lives on a daily basis. And how are we responding? Many people, and I would even venture to say Christians, live from a position in our life where we function from a position of good works, striving to gain an identity that is already within us. However, to living a life of being free, we have to be able to reverse what many people, many of us, live from on somewhat of a regular basis. We have to be able to reverse it. And whenever things come and we don't think we're treated fair, or for Joseph, when he was treated in many ways he was, from being sold to being mistreated by Potiphar's wife to many other things that happened in his life, Joseph didn't respond according to the things that he was facing. He responded to that which was deep within him. Galatians 5:1. Nick, you want to pull that up? This is the verse that Mark referred to last week at the end of his lesson. It was for freedom that Christ makes us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Paul was telling us here in these verses, this verse in Galatians 5, verse 1, to live from a place of freedom in our life, not striving to be free, but living from a position of freedom. Mark referred to that at the very end of his sermon last week. Living from a position of being free. We are made free in Christ, not in our own strength, not in our own performance. Yes, we have things to do. It is up to us how we're going to act or respond, but Christ has done it for us. So therefore, he said, it is for freedom that Christ has made us free. We can enjoy freedom. We are to stand firm, confidently, courageous, and bold, even when we are facing opposition. All of us face that at times in our life. In Christ and our connection with Abba Father, that's what makes us free. Galatians 2. Let's go to the next set of verses. Galatians 5, verse 2. Look, this is Paul talking. I, Paul, tell you that if you have yourselves circumcised, Christ will be of no benefit to you. And I testify again to every man who has himself circumcised that as he is obligated to keep the whole law. You have been severed from Christ. You who are seeking to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, by faith, are waiting for the hope of righteousness. Now, circumcision is not the part here. He's using that as an example. He's writing about this, but he says that's not where your identity is. Your identity is not in whether you're circumcised or not. Your identity is in being free in Christ. Verse 6. For in Christ, Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything but faith working in you through what? Through love. In other words, he's saying it's freedom in Christ because Christ is working in you, not because you've been circumcised, not because there's some law being fulfilled in your life, not because you're being this good, good, whatever person. It is through faith in Jesus Christ. Faith working through love. The story I'm going to read at the end of my message this morning is going to be very clear of what's happening in that story and what's written here in verse 6. Verse 7. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion did not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens a whole lump of dough. I have confidence in the Lord that you will adopt no other view, but the one who is disturbing you will bear the punishment, whoever it is. He's talking about, Paul is talking here as he's writing about living from a position of faith working through us through love. We live in a world that everything's about performance, and everything's about, Ben, you referred to this a little bit as you were talking. Everything's about performance and being right in everything that I do. How many of you like to be wrong? Wow, nobody. Right. We don't like to be wrong. How many of you like to be right? How many of you like to be right even if it bothers the other person? Oh, there's a few of you. Okay. Even if it hurts the other person, you still need to be right. Well, you notice a lot of you raised your hand, and then when I asked the next question, some of you did. You know why? We don't want to admit that. If I'm functioning from a healthy identity, I don't need to admit that. If I'm functioning from an unhealthy identity, I do need to admit that, because I will be, at times, hurting people. We've got to read some more verses here after bed. Galatians 5, it was for freedom that Christ made us free. Many times our not being free, our slavery, our bondage comes from the way we believe. Thus we demand that we are right, and we require others to believe and live in that way as well. That does not produce freedom in our relationship as with people. Because I believe that I'm right, and therefore everyone else needs to understand and believe that. And when you believe like I believe, we're all going to get along just fine. That's not true. Paul says, we're going to learn here shortly, to work together and love one another and serve one another. Our freedom is in Christ. We are designed to live and function from freedom, not to work really hard to get to a place of freedom. Galatians 5, starting at verse 13. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. Let me read that again. You were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but serve one another through love. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. But I say, 16, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the desire of the flesh is against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. That's a pretty important verse. That's a big statement. Able to walk in the Spirit and not fulfilling the desires of the flesh. If Joseph would have been living from filling the desires of the flesh, he would have ended up at a completely, totally different place in his life. You see, when I believe a certain thing and I think you must live according to what I believe and you must accept me according to what I believe, I'm living from the desires of my flesh, not from the Spirit. For these are in opposition to one another. Living by this, walking by the Spirit, or living from the flesh. They're in opposition to one another. For these are in opposition to one another in order to keep you from doing the flesh are evident, which are sexual immorality, impurity, indecent behavior, idolatry, witchcraft, hostilities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I have forewarned you. Just as I have forewarned you that those who practice these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I'm not going to focus on those things. There's a big list there. And probably all of us could find one of those things in our life at some point. But what I really want to refer to here is the difference between living with this, carrying out the desires of the flesh, or walking in the Spirit. Unhealthy identity or healthy identity? Which one are we going to live from? A healthy one. But how often do we find ourselves responding to life from these things? Oh, maybe, well, I didn't count them. There's at least a dozen there. Well, there's only one that I struggle with, or maybe two. That's not the issue. The issue is, am I walking with a lack of identity and going after the desires of the flesh? Or am I living from a healthy identity, walking in the Spirit? Let's look at what walking in the Spirit is. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. For if we live by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit as well. Let's not become boastful, challenging one another, or envying one another. Paul's addressing us as a community of believers. And to live in freedom. In other words, we are to be together, functioning together in who we are designed to be. Now, I function with you as a part of the church family, but I live with my wife. And we, most of the time, function from walking in the Spirit. But once in a while, I don't do that. Once in a while, she doesn't either. And it's easier for me to see hers than it is for me to see mine. Yeah. Okay? Yeah. But Paul says we are a community of believers. In other words, the church. We're a community of believers. In other words, he's saying to us, live in freedom. And don't go around making excuses for what we want to do. That's an opportunity for the flesh, which destroys our freedom. So I just want to ask this morning, who's the authority in your life? Or maybe I should say, what's the authority in your life? It's probably easier to go with who is rather than what is. Three things I just want to share with you is what is authority in our life? When we are able to function at the level of these three things, we are able to put away the desires of the flesh and live and walk in the Spirit. Number one, the authority of the Word of God. Number two, the power of the Holy Spirit. And number three, an intimate connection with Abba Father. And not necessarily in that order. Or the fourth one would be all of those things working together. And I would say the fourth one is right. It's when all of those things are working in my life. In other words, when I'm developing what I believe is right, what authority do I have in that decision from the Word of God to back up what I believe? Or has it been my hurt and pain in my life that has caused me to get to that place that I believe in? What is it? Is it circumstances or is it the authority of the Word of God? Is it the circumstances or is it the power of the Spirit working in me? Is it the circumstances or is it an intimate relationship with Abba Father? If Joseph would have looked at his circumstances, he would have done things different in his life. He didn't look at his circumstances. Now, did Joseph know what his circumstances were? Absolutely he did. But they did not dictate who he was or did not dictate his response. When the fruit of the Spirit is evident in my life, the law is fulfilled and we can relate to each other in love, honor, and respect. Paul says that we are called to be free, placing our unity as a family ahead of my fleshly desires. It kind of breaks my heart when I see people functioning from a selfish position in their life. In other words, I believe a certain way, and that's the way it's going to be, and I'm going to make sure you understand it, you believe it. And I don't respect you or love you or honor you enough to say, let's communicate as a brother and sister. I can understand that with people that don't know Jesus, never did know Jesus on a personal level. I can understand that from a person at that position. But what really breaks my heart is whenever I see people functioning and knowing, believing in Jesus, saying they have an intimate relationship with Abba Father, but doing exactly what they want to do. And it's like, your opinion makes no difference to me because this is between me and God and you don't have anything in it. I think Paul is talking directly to that and saying, it's time that we begin to love and serve one another as a body, as brothers and sisters, as a church family. Paul's talking directly to that. And he was speaking to us as he was writing it. When we live free and motivated by the Spirit of God, we will not feed the compulsion for self-interest and self-centeredness. If we bite and devour one another, as he's talking about, that's a position when we go from freedom back into unhealthiness, slavery. I just wanted to share from these verses of Galatians 5. 20 couple years ago, I was introduced to a man. His name was Jack Frost. Not the guy that's on your, makes your grass white in the fall. But a man, his name was Jack Frost. And I went to a conference that he was holding. And over the next 5 or 6 years, I went to a lot of the conferences that he had that were in the area. Jack grew up in a very legalistic home. Jack was a man who was now married, had a wife and two children. Children were school age when I learned to know him. He grew up with a very critical mother and father. His responses to that, them being critical, they were not Christians at that point. The family godly issues were not a part of the family at all. And his father was very high performance. He was very demanding, very requiring. And Jack rebelled to that authority. Because of his choices in response to his father, he ended up in the drug culture. He ended up with lots of wild parties, making lots of incorrect decisions. He became exactly like his father. He didn't treat his peers well. He didn't treat his family well. He didn't treat employees well, because Jack was Jack. And Jesus at that point was not a part of his life. And so Jack had this tremendous, I'm right, and the rest of the people are wrong.
Yeah.
Guess who got the blunt of that? The wife and two children, and a lot of other people.
Yeah.
Jack was a professional fisherman as an adult, and he was very good at it, very highly respected, but the performance in him to be the best fisherman and to be the best he could very be, and his identity was in that. He was very hard and cruel and harsh with anybody that he interacted with. One night he was out on a fishing vessel. His life was, he was miserable. If you live by your own standards out of self-centeredness, it produces a lot of chaos and confusion. Jack was living in chaos and confusion. One night he was out in his shipping vessel all by himself, and he was laying up in the top deck of it. Stars were there, and he said, God, I need something. I need you. I need something. I don't know what I need, but I need something. And God met him there that night. God met him. He had a personal encounter that night with Abba Father. So now everything was different. No, it wasn't. Because God had already done his part. Now it was up to Jack to do his part. And Ben, your talk about repentance this morning was so good. Jack spent the next number of years going back and repenting to people, starting with his wife and children and co-workers and people he had worked for. See, God had got a hold of him that night. The Father had a connection with him that night. But it took Jack a period of time until he was able to get it worked out in his life. But eventually, things began to change in his life. And he began to change from having a legalistic mindset, a self-centered mindset. He began to allow God to change that into loving people. Sometimes it takes a while for God to get through to us. I want to read you a story. This was a while later, and just Jack wrote this. I read this in my devotional about 6 weeks ago, and it touched my heart. Because how often do we think we're right at the expense of hurting somebody else? And this was Jack, and he was writing, and his children were school age, maybe middle school by this point. He said, about six months after the change of my legalistic heart to a heart that was filled with love for my wife and my children. About 6 months after the change of a legalistic heart. In other words, what I mean by that is Jack allowed the Spirit of God, the authority of the Word of God, and a connection with Almighty Father, ultimate, intimate relationship with Heavenly Father, to change him from being this legalistic, law-abiding person that had all these requirements on his own life and everybody else, to a life now that was filled with love for people, starting with his family. And this is what he said. About 6 months after the change of a legalistic heart, our daughter called from school, asking if she could bring a friend home with her. This is Jack writing. I was surprised. Because before I had a revelation of Father's love, my children rarely brought friends home. But the daughter wanted to bring a friend home. I readily agreed, he said. And then she said, well, Dad, I need to prepare you. Erica, who's the friend, that's coming home with me. She has orange hair. She has a cat collar around her arm. And she has earrings in strange places. Something you want to bring your children to bring into your home, right? Jack says, that took me back. But I composed myself and I replied, why do you want to bring this girl into our home, Sarah? That's his daughter. My daughter's answer surprised me. Because, this is what the daughter said to her dad, because she is so hurt. Her own father is a drug addict. He left his family years ago. I want to introduce Erica to you, Dad. I want her to see what a loving and tender father is like. This was a girl who before didn't even want to bring a friend home. But because of the change in Dad's heart from unhealthy identity to a good identity, the change that happened in Dad's heart, she now risked bringing this girl home to be a part of their family. For 6 weeks, Erica was a daily guest in our home. Wasn't just one night, one evening. She was a daily guest in our home. And each week, something changed in her appearance. Her natural hair color returned. Her cat collar and earrings in strange places disappeared. And eventually, Erica gave her heart to Christ. Erica was led home to her Heavenly Father because I, Jack, had relinquished the attitude of living from legalism, the love of the law, having to be right, and demanding that my wife and children and everybody else agree with me. I relinquished that. And she was, because of that, Erica was accepted and returned to her Heavenly Father. She was led to her Heavenly Father. And because I relinquished the attitude of living from the law, love of the law, having to be right and demanding others to agree with me. And instead, I was motivated by love and compassion for a lost and hurting little girl. See, people, this, I'm still reading what Jack wrote. People who know they've done wrong or are doing wrong love to hang out with Jesus. The good, quote, good people, what did they want to do with Jesus? They wanted to kill him. How do hurting and lost people feel around me? Do they sense my compassion and concern, or do they feel devalued, shamed, or belittled? You know what makes a difference? Am I living from a good identity, a healthy identity, or am I living from an unhealthy identity? Am I living for what Jesus said in freedom, functioning in love, or am I living from an unhealthy place, demanding that I'm right and insisting I'm right and demanding other people live from that? You see, a year before, Erica would not have been accepted by Sarah's father, and Sarah would not have felt safe to bring her friend home with the orange hair and the other things. How do people feel around us? Our greatest impact is felt when our message is genuinely demonstrated in our lives with or without words. Let me read that again. Our greatest impact is felt when our message is genuinely demonstrated in our lives with or without words. What's being demonstrated? Jack lived his life from believing he was right, and everyone else had to come under his unhealthy identity. Is my identity as a person strong enough in me to genuinely demonstrate the message of the Father to everyone around me? I allow the intimate relationship with Abba Father, the work and the power of the Holy Spirit, and the transforming power of the Word of God be at work in me to bring change in my life so that I can interact in a way that allows change to happen in everybody else's life. I'm in the middle of reading a book. I just want to, this is a quote from the book. It's called Walking in Divine Wisdom. Living from the Word of God, the authority of the Word of God, has a transformative effect on my heart and my mind. The truth is, when we invite the Holy Spirit to be our guide, He reveals truth that makes us free. Remember in Galatians, Paul talking about freedom? The truth is, when we invite the Holy Spirit to be our guide, He reveals truth that makes us free. That truth that makes us free is an exchange where our lies are exposed and replaced with truth. From this new way of thinking, I have opportunities I never had before. See, Jack's new way of thinking presented an opportunity for he and his family to allow change to happen in Erica's life. I will have opportunities I had never had before when the change happens within me. As I immerse myself in Scripture, I encounter the living Word, Jesus Christ. Let me reread that. As I immerse myself in Scripture, I encounter the letter of the law, right? No. If it becomes the letter of the law and I become very legalistic, I'm living with an unhealthy identity. But when I immerse myself in Scripture, I encounter the living Word, Jesus Christ. He, Jesus, transforms me from the inside out. The truth and wisdom in Scripture challenges my preconceived notions. It challenges and reshapes my perspectives, and it renews my mind. What does? My ability to get it all right? My ability to embrace the freedom that I have because of who Christ is. And when He works within me and begins to change me from the inside out, all of a sudden, what He has placed within me begins to shine forth. The Word of God has the power to convict, inspire, and bring about profound personal growth and spiritual maturity. The life-empowering wisdom found in the Word of God is not some theoretical presentation put in place by God to wow us. It's a profound insight of our Heavenly Father that inspires us to grow by finding clarity in our decision-making process. I just want to challenge us this morning as a church. We live in a world. All of us rub shoulders every day with people. We live in a world, and many people live in a place of unhealthy identity. They live in a place of not understanding who they are. And as because of that, they interact with people in a way, do something for me. If you do something for me, then that makes me happy. Guess what Paul said? Let's do it for as a brothers and sisters. Let's do it together. Let's work together as a healthy, functioning body, community of believers. And whenever I'm at the point where I begin to understand what Mark and Ben and others have been talking about of making Jesus center, what happens at that point is I begin to develop this healthy identity, knowing who I am in Him, enjoying the freedom that gives me the ability to begin to interact with you and people beyond you on a daily basis. You on a weekly basis, people on a daily basis. I think the world is waiting for people to stand up and understand and know who they are and function from that and begin to make an impact in the world we live in like we haven't experienced. As Ben shared this morning about what's happening in the world we live in, there's no better time, no better opportunity for each one of us to understand and know what is deep within us that was put there by God and to allow that to come out of us and begin to impact people in a positive world. The other day I was sitting with a group of people. And they were talking about all the things that's happening in the world we live in. And I said, I don't see it that way. I see what Jesus sees. I see in people who Jesus sees. Am I aware of what's happening? You bet I am. Maybe more keenly than I ought to at times. But I don't see people and I don't see life like that, where I bicker and complain. I begin to see what God sees, and I'm able to embrace that. Church, the world is waiting on us. The world's waiting on us. What an opportunity in 2024 to do it this way. to understand our identity and function from it to make an impact on every person that we meet. I bless you in your home. I bless you in your family. I bless you in your extended families. I bless you in your communities that you live in. I bless you in the workplace that you work at. I bless you in your circles of influence. I bless you today that as you see what's happening around us, as you see the government, as you see leadership, as you see authority, even if it's around the world, let's view it from the standpoint of, oh, that's God at work. Yeah, there's things happening, but God's at work. And I want to be able to be at that place where I don't judge what's happening from a standpoint of putting a negative influence into it, but be able to see it from a place of what's God doing in me and how can I begin to interact with every person that I meet. Ben, you shared this morning, you're not sure of people hearing what you say. I think Jesus felt that way a lot. But you know what? Sometimes I feel like people don't really even want to hear what I have to say when I talk about things the way I do, because I talk it to things, issues from a different perspective. But that only one thing that does for me, it makes me courageous, it makes me bold, it makes me confident in the Spirit of the Word of God, in the power of the Holy Spirit, and the intimate relationship of all the Father. And I'm able to speak life from that to put truth, because truth is what will make people free. Not when I demand, not when I require. Just as Jack Frost interacted with his daughter and his son and his wife and other people, and eventually interacted with Erica, that had the orange hair and the earrings in strange places and a dog collar on her arm. When he began to see that girl from the perspective of who God made her, all of a sudden things began to change in her life. We have that opportunity today in 2024 to interact with people at that level. Let's take that challenge boldly, confidently, and courageously and speak truth. But also, more importantly, live the truth and demonstrate that truth in our life every day. I bless you in who you are. Let's pray. Father, thank you for life, abundant life, that we have through Jesus, the living Word. Thank you, Abba Father, for having that intimate connection with each one of us. We didn't earn that. You just gave it to us. Give us the courage to respond to you and allow the power of your Holy Spirit to impact us every day in our lives. I thank you for your Word and the truth of your Word that makes us free. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
World Harvest Outreach is located in Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, but we have family around the world. To connect with us, visit us at whocenterpa.com.